I think it's in Mark's gospel where Jesus asked his disciples, who do they say that I am? And that question is something that every one of us has to answer in our life. Who do you say that I am? And so I think in studying Luke, I think that if you ask Luke, who do you say that Jesus is? His response, it appears to me at least, to be that Jesus is the new Elijah. He's the new Elijah and Elisha. He borrows a lot of material in his gospel from and about those two prophets particularly to get his point across and to paint his portrait of who he and how he sees Jesus. And so he would see Jesus as the compassionate one, the one whom God calls, like God calls all the prophets, to tell the people, go beyond your tribal and your religious and social boundaries that you've created in order to reveal God's universal care for all people. That's the message of the prophets. That's the message of Jesus, God's universal care for all. Jesus is a long line of Jewish prophets with an inclusive message. And all the gospel writers look back into their scriptures. Like Luke. And they drew heavily from them. That Jesus is a prophet, but he's more than a prophet, as we know. Luke and the other evangelists tell us these stories. They tell stories. Like the one we just heard today. In order to validate Jesus' life as being transformative experience of God's presence in their midst. That's how they experienced Jesus, as God's presence in their midst, as we hear today. God is truly present to his people. It's a healing, life-giving presence. So we see throughout the gospel, people's lives were changed because of their encounter with Jesus and their experience of being loved and being accepted. This is what religion is supposed to be about, Jesus is trying to tell the people in Luke. It's been pointed out over and over again to us by scholars and by historians that Christianity changed dramatically in the 4th century. From the age of faith, which it was called for the first 3 centuries, to the age of belief. Christianity turns into a belief system. Whereas for Jesus, for the earlier followers, it was about ethical living. It was a way of being, a way of living, a way of acting in the world. And so the religion of Jesus was not about beliefs and about rules and commandments, which we had made it into, laws and purity and moral codes. It was about faith. Faith is not the same as beliefs. Faith is radical trust in God. It was about transformation of lives. It was about change of heart and mind. It's not about being right, but about being loving. So the religion of Jesus is not, as we know, built up around death. It's not about sin and how to balance it with suffering, as we hear in the first reading. It's not about judgment and punishment, or even about obedience and reward. In fact, it's precisely against all such dark and fear-provoking measuring ideas that Jesus was about. It's about God's unconditional love, God's endless creativity. It's about unlimited potential for goodness in people, for godliness in the world, for beauty in the earth and in human souls. It's about the kingdom, Malchut, in Aramaic. It's the union of God with people for unlimited creativity. And this union with God begins here on earth. This is the treasure that's hidden, that's buried in the field, according to Matthew, for which we should forsake all of our other pursuits, all other ways of envisioning our life and purpose and existence. So sell all your petty ambitions, says Jesus. I want you to invest in the great work. Join the big time. Enlarge your vision. You were made for something enormous. Open your eyes and see it. My brothers and sisters, we are all children of God, the same God. You and I and everyone else has an biblical connection to divine life, to an inexhaustive source of existence, to goodness, to novelty, to beauty. So we need to draw on it, nurse from it. But how? Well, this is the year of faith in the church. We do it by faith, is how we do it. By being convinced of it and of our own sure connection to it. By being confident in it. By trusting it. By expecting good things. In fact, by envisioning great things. Imagining new ways to express divine love in the world. You know, we might even say that faith is our capacity to draw life and nourishment, healing and joy from this source, who Jesus called Abba, Daddy. And faith is closely paralleled by works. Our power to give, about which Jesus' teaching says to us, you are capable. You're not helpless. The divine intelligence and energy are in each of you. So, don't be afraid. You are very valuable to God. You can do what needs to be done. We're not supposed to be waiting as Christians for something magical or supernatural to come and transform the world. We now know, I hope, that all of us together are the Messiah, the Christ. We are the body of Christ, Jesus as our head. You know, in the end, Jesus was all about faith, radical trust. So he says to us, as he was saying to those people today as well in the gospel, believe in God and believe also in yourselves. Even a little sure confidence, just a little confidence coupled with vision, can perform miracles. We are told that mustard seed faith can move mountains. So we need to understand how the divine energy works. And we discover that that divine energy works by constantly giving itself away in love. So, my brothers and sisters, let us tie into this energy every day with faith, with hope, and our imagination, and nothing will be impossible for us.